Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the demigods being thus advised by Brihaspati for their benefit, immediately accepted his words. Assuming forms according to their desire, they left the heavenly kingdom and scattered without being observed by the demons. Purport. The word Kama Rupina indicates that the demigods, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, can assume any form they desire. Thus, it was not at all difficult for them to remain incognito before the eyes of the demons. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. You've gotten all the way up to the eighth canto. The eighth canto shows us how even we go to the heavenly planets in the material world, still we won't find the happiness we're looking for. And in this particular verse, it's rather short, and Srila Prabhupada's purport is about demigods assuming any form they desire, kama rupina. But Prabhupada also mentions that, or the translation is, that the demigods listened to Brihaspati, and therefore they left the heavenly kingdom. In the material world, everyone has to find someone they're going to listen to. From the beginning of our life, we have to listen to someone. No one grows up without learning something from someone. And indeed, if we don't choose properly who to listen to, then we may not get the result we're looking for, because everyone is looking to figure out, getting some advice, how to improve their situation. Improving the situation means to get some security. Sometimes they call that stability. Maximum stability is eternity. If we can live eternally, that's quite secure. If we're not living eternally, we have different degrees of insecurity. And therefore, we're looking for some degree of security. If we were in Brahman realization, it's rather a stable situation. But even there, it is said that one may get bored after some time and look around and find himself back in the material world again. So even that situation is unstable. Although in Brahman, there is practically nothing to worry about, because there's nothing to do. There's nothing going on. You don't have to worry about getting run over by cars in Brahman, because there are no cars. You don't have to worry about being criticized by anyone, because there's no one to criticize you. And even if they are criticizing you, you couldn't hear it anyhow. So it's a rather peaceful situation, but rather uninteresting after some time. But here in the material world, having a material body, everyone is rather insecure, especially about their material body. And there's a good reason to be insecure about the material body, because it's right before our very eyes, it's growing older and getting more diseased, and eventually, God forbid, but it might die. It will die. No matter how strong and fit our body is, in the struggle for existence, ultimately, no one survives. Therefore, Krishna says, Mamai Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutak Sanatanam Manakshastran Indriyani Prakriti Starni Karshiti. He uses the word karshiti. We're all struggling in the material world. We get up in the morning, to get out of bed is a struggle. Most of us don't float out of bed. And we find the first attachment we have to give up in the morning begins in the morning when we have to give up our attachment to the bed and the pillow and our blankets. So it's a struggle. more a struggle, less of a struggle. But from the very beginning of our lives, we're struggling. The first struggle is to breathe, and therefore someone hits us so we can begin to breathe. And after that, it's always a struggle, just one struggle after another. And we're trying to figure out, learn how to gradually make the struggle less of a struggle. So that's called comfort. Less struggle, we call that comfort. But in the course of time, generally the struggle gets greater, not lesser. Now we're struggling to get out of bed, and we can get out of bed, and the time will come when we can't get out of bed, however much we struggle. Not only are we struggling for security, but we're also struggling for some kind of comfort, lack of dis-ease. And we're trying to learn, whether it's yoga, whether it's from how to eat properly. We're trying to learn how to make the body as comfortable as possible. Of course, most people have no information at all about that. They're talking about going to the moon or Mars. They're talking about so many things, conquering this country, that country. But even the big conquerors, they don't even know how to chew their food. Their mother never even taught them how to chew their food. And therefore, their body is struggling to, whatever they eat, is just struggling all the time to try to digest it. They don't even know how to sleep at night. They don't know very much. They take something insignificant in the struggle and they take it as most significant. Because Natevidu Swarthagatim Vishnu. They don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Vishnu. And therefore, even if they learn how to chew their food, it doesn't solve their problems. Of course, it would solve some of their problems. Even if they learn how to regulate their lives and get up in the morning at a certain time and go to sleep at a certain time, even if they learn the basic principles of how to live comfortably in the material body, still they die anyhow. They're in the Tevidu Swarthagatim He Vishnu. They don't know that actually the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. Why? Balasyaneha Sharnam Pitarona Shingha Nartasya Chagadam Udanvato Na Majital Now Taptasya Tat Frividir Vihandrashestas Twadvido Tanubritam Twam Upekshitana. The parents may try to protect the child. The doctor may try to protect the patient with good medicine. The boat may try to protect the passengers. But ultimately, it may all prove a failure. If Krishna wills, then the child will grow up. If Krishna wills, then the medicine may be effective. If Krishna wills, then the boat may cross the river or the ocean. And if Krishna wills, the child will die. The medicine will prove ineffective, and the boat will sink and kill everyone. But even the child grows up, even the boat crosses the water, even the medicine is effective, everyone dies anyhow, eventually. Therefore, the only shelter is Krishna. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked, what is the best thing you've learned in school? And as you've heard before, Prahlad immediately responded, the best thing I've learned in school, my dear father, is that you're a number one fool. Why is that? He was not shy in telling his father for his benefit. He said that Tatsana Manye Surya Varya Dehinam Sadasamudvigna Dhyama Satgrihat Hidvatma Pitam Griham Andakupam Kutovanam Yad Dharima Shrieta. My dear father, one thing I've noticed about you is that although you're seemingly controlling the demigods and the whole universe within, still you're always in anxiety. Therefore, you're always intoxicated. Therefore, tat sadu manye surya varya deinam sada, always, subvigna, who full of anxiety. Why is one anxiety? Because we want something we can't have. We want a permanent body, and it's not permanent. We want people to listen to us, and they don't listen to us. The material world doesn't work the way we want it to. And we're wanted to. We have a great will, and that great we have this will, to this desire to control the material energy, and we can't do it. And therefore, we're always in anxiety, hankering to control the material energy and lamenting over the fact we can't do it. Therefore, Sada Samudvigna Dhyam, the intelligent, Asat, dwelling on the temporary. Because we're dwelling on the temporary, how can you control the temporary? How can you control water? You put your hand in the water and you go, stop. Is it going to stop just because you're desiring it to stop or willing or clutching it or doing this and that? In a river, the water is flowing. Or even in the sink, you open the top, tap, and you put your hand in there and trying to control the water, stop it from flowing. What can you do? Nothing. It is simply a waste of time. Similarly, the material nature is flowing according to the laws of karma, according to Krishna's laws. And what can our little tiny will do? Nothing. And yet, because people are struggling mentally also to try to control the material nature and struggling on the basis of that mental proclivity to try to clutch the material nature and control it, stop it from doing whatever we don't want it to do and trying to force it to do what we want it to do, and yet people don't listen to us. And therefore we get frustrated. Why don't you surrender to me? I'm God. Don't you realize that? Didn't your mother educate you? Don't you go to church? Can't you recognize when you see God? Why are you so ignorant? I'm here to educate you. But no matter how much we try and educate people or force them one way ad voculum, by force or by plea or by prayer or whatever else, people don't listen in the material world because they have their own will. They have their own desire to become God. And therefore, one God is imposing his will on the other people who are trying to become God. And therefore, that's the last thing they want. Therefore, by popular psychology and advertisement, whatever else, they've realized, don't try to impose people's desire to become God. Encourage them to become God. Tell them you have the solution to help them become God. That they are God. And here is their servant to sell them something. Because the illusory energy has taken away their intelligence. Therefore, so-called pretenders, pretending to be servants of others who are actually simply trying to control people by some clever means, claiming to be a servant, but actually trying to manipulate people in their own way for their own means. But because the illusory energy has taken away the intelligence of the people in general, therefore, andaya tandero begim anas. They choose some fool who claims to be their servant who is actually simply trying to manipulate them. And the illusory energy is also manipulating the people who are trying to manipulate others. Therefore, it is said, Prahlad Maharaj says, we're in a difficult situation. Matirana Krishne Patatak Satova. So many problems. But we don't put our consciousness in Krishna. Instead, we try to solve our problems in so many, but taking shelter of so many other people. So many other instructions. And why? Because we have some faith that somehow or another, by some arrangement, I'm going to be able to make a perfectly happy place in this material world, at least over the weekend. I'll struggle the whole week, and on the weekend, everything will be perfect. I'll have television will be there, and it'll be the perfect football game. My team will win, My favorite beer will be at my side. My wife will cook the perfect meal. And my children will all be well behaved and simply sing my glories during the football game. So week after week, punat punat sarvata charvananam. It never works out the way we want it to. And even if it did, then we'd even lament more when the next week wasn't quite as perfect it was as last week. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, people are foolish. They don't know that the aim of life is to reach Vishnu. Instead, they take shelter of something insignificant, guided by blind people who are trying to get security in this material world, promising a perfect life in material sense gratification, eternal life of unlimited, unrelenting sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj says that actually, Prahlad Maharaj says we should seek out a person who has no material desires. Why? Because if we learn how to become free from our material desires, then we become liberated. And if we become liberated, then we become prasannatma. So, how long do we have to be without material desires to be liberated, to be actually liberated? Completely without material desire. Therefore, one has to become a servant. Servant doesn't mean simply that we sit at a fire sacrifice, we throw some grains in, we get some beads and a new name, and now my life has become perfect. No, it's an opportunity. We can utilize that opportunity, take advantage of it, to actually become a servant of the person that we're taking initiation from. But not exactly a servant of him, but a servant of the instructions that he's giving through the simple succession. Servant of the instructions given by Lord Krishna. Of course, we have to have faith in those instructions, so we have to have faith in the person. If we don't are not willing 24 hours a day to serve them, either by Vapu or by Vani, then the initiation may not be very effective. Therefore, we have to be trained what the initiation meant. And service to the elevated spiritual master doesn't mean simply I'm only serving them. No, it means I learn how to become a perfect servant of Krishna, a perfect servant of the Vaishnavas, and I serve them according to their different levels of elevation, of which Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has told us, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chat pranitibhis chabhajantam isham shushu shaya chabhajanam ananya anya Nindati sunyavridayami sita sangalabdhya. That one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name. So where is the room for criticism? There's no room for criticism. Of course, we may be, by nature, by our conditioning, consciously or unconsciously, we may be critical. Matter of fact, we are critical. If we're not in love, we must be critical. The opposite of love is criticism. So if we're not feeling great feelings and love for every devotee, then there must be some degree of criticism due to our past conditioning. Therefore, one has to learn at the beginning to mentally honor the devotees who chant the holy name. That may sound, oh, that's so neophyte, so simple. It is not so simple. Therefore, we have to elevate ourselves from looking at others in different materialistic ways. One is, how are you going to help me? the neophyte, the most neophyte devotee, looks at everyone and asks them, so how are you going to help me overcome my problems? As if everyone is simply existing to overcome my problems. Otherwise, you're useless. You might as well disappear, as far as I'm concerned. So this is not a very good attitude. And then, all right, you can't help, I don't care, I'll solve my own problems, but you're going to try and make me comfortable. Comfortable means you make me feel good. You give a class, for instance, comfortable, maybe you offer me a seat, you offer me some prasadam, or you tell me how nice I am, you make me feel good. Then we honor you. Otherwise, you're a rascal. How dare you criticize me, even subtly? Or we may be inquisitive. If you satisfy my inquisitiveness and add to my body of knowledge and intelligence how to control others, how to win friends and influence people, then you're my friend, you're my well-wisher, and therefore I mentally honor you. Or if you can liberate me from my anxiety, that you can actually make me advance spiritually, then I honor you. Otherwise, you're useless. Or you fit into one of the other three categories. So to mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name means to even transcend beyond that, to come to the platform. Just because this devotee is engaged in Krishna's service, even to that extent, therefore I respect them, because everyone is Krishna's servant, and therefore I respect the fact that somehow or another the soul is now engaged in its constitutional position, and therefore I respect that. And if we want to come to the second class platform, that's just become on the threshold of the second class platform. Then we have to act as a Madhyama Adhikari. So for this, we need a spiritual master. We can read books about how to win friends and influence people. We can understand how the material nature works better through the Vedas or any other literature following the Vedic version. We can learn how to become more comfortable and learn how to influence people, make them feel good. We can learn how to free people from disease and other types of they say nowadays, low self-esteem or whatever else people are trying to help people with. But if we actually want to come to the liberated platform, then we have to take instructions from an elevated spiritual master who's already on the liberated platform. Or from those who are repeating the message of the elevated spiritual master, they can help us in according to their own personal realization, how to come to the liberated platform. And what are those instructions? They're Ishvare Tadineshu, Palisheshu Dvitsatsucha, Prema Maitri Kripopeka, Yakaroti Samadhimaha. The spiritual master's instructions generally focus on how to love Krishna with prema, not to look at Krishna in a neophyte way as a solution to my material insecurity or my lack of material happiness or my lack of understanding how to better live in the material world to either free myself from anxiety, control others, be comfortable, or free from distress. No, to love Krishna simply because Krishna is so nice. So the spiritual master's instructions that he teach us, what is the process of working on the liberated platform where we simply love Krishna and serve Krishna without any other self-interest? Which means generally in the beginning to get some sambandha, that everything here is Krishna's property. Therefore, what are we going to gain? As soon as I think something is mine, what happens? Well, we're so much used to it happening, we don't even aware it's happening. Because we so much identified ourselves with his body and with his mind and with some so-called, our idea is a material of advancement. That as soon as I look at anything, whether my body or my family or even my, house or my ideas, my feelings, my. I and mine. Then the illusory entity captures us, and we believe we're some part of the material nature, either grossly or subtly. Therefore, anyabhilasito shunyam jnana karma dadavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. First business is to find a bona fide spiritual master and to find out what Krishna wants. It is said, we have the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. Chetasa sarva karmani maya sanyasya matparaha buddhiyogam upashitya matshita ksatatam bhava. And all activities, Krishna says, depend upon me. So that means all the time. How much are we conscious all the time? What am I doing? Is it in Krishna consciousness or is it in some material consciousness? And how do we know whether it's material or spiritual? But Krishna says all the time, depend upon me. And work always under my protection, matparaha. In such devotional service, in such service, become fully conscious of me. So this is the secret of success in devotional service, is to hear the sambandha and accept everything as Krishna's energy. That's called jnana. And then vairagya, now I must utilize it in Krishna's service under the direction of Krishna, as in Bhagavad Gita, in the book Bhagavad Gita, as well as, not or, but as well as the representative of Krishna. If Krishna is not personally talking to us, then we need the shelter of Bhagavad Gita as well as Krishna's representatives. And then that's not the end of the story. I've been told to do something. Now let me do it, and then my life will become perfect. No. One has to become a matparaha devotee. It has to be some feeling to what we're doing also. Devotional service means devotion, not simply service. And therefore, not only do we do things mechanically as if we're in a army, but there has to be more than that. It has to be an army of devotees. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, this word matparaha is very important in this connection. One should have no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So we have to know what the goal is. The goal is not security. It is not that if I follow Krishna's directions and his representative's directions, then I'll get security or I'll get comfort, or I'll get awareness of how to control the material nature and others within it better, or I'll get liberation from all problems of material existence. No, the goal of life is act in Krishna consciousness, be aware of Krishna with an attitude of devotion. And how to get there? Well, acting in such a way, one should think of Krishna only. That I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. And I'm doing it just to please him. So through Krishna's representatives, then we find out what Krishna wants us to do through his book, Bhagavad Gita, through his representatives, and how to do it in such a way as it's devotional. And then the result is we naturally will think about Krishna with devotion. And that is perfect Krishna consciousness. So for that, Naishamatistavad Urukramangrim, Sprisha Inarto Bhagavo Inarsham, Mehiyasam Parujevishekam Niskinshananam. One who is actually free from all material objectives, we have to learn from them. We have to take them as our friend. Or we take as a friend, as our authority, those who are giving us the same instructions as a liberated devotee. Prabhupada, one letter in 1967 to 68 to Janardhan in Montreal, he was talking about the qualifications of an elevated spiritual master. He said the elevated spiritual master is on the same level as Srimati Radharani, Mahabhagavat, or as Prabhupada says, Uttama Bhagavat. What is Srimati Radharani? She thinks that actually I'm not a devotee. Sometimes everyone else is a devotee. Uttama Adhikari. Sometimes Srimati Radharani even takes one of her subordinates as her spiritual master and learns from her how to become a better servant of Krishna. Simply a perfect servant of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. So the Mahabhagavat must be on that level of devotion. But Prabhupada said there are others who are not so advanced, they're less advanced, but they can also help, but they must be strictly followers. They strictly follow the previous acharyas, and therefore they can also act as a spiritual master. Another place Prabhupada says their potency to deliver their disciple may not be so as great as the Mahabhagavat. Therefore, they refer their instructions, whatever they're doing, they refer back to the Mahabhagavat, as Prabhupada would always do. Prabhupada said, I may be liberated, I may not be liberated. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada said, I'm not liberated. But because I'm perfectly following the instructions of the liberated acharya, therefore my activities are liberated. Therefore I'm liberated. So we have to take shelter of those who are liberated, as Srila Prabhupada, or those who are strictly following the instructions of the liberated acharya. And that way they're also liberated. Then the result is we'll make advancement. They may be liberated, they may not be liberated. But if they're giving liberated instructions and I follow them, then I'll become liberated. If I follow them with faith and I follow them with proper understanding. Therefore, we have to choose carefully who's our authority. Mahajano yena katasa panta. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. Mahajano yena katasa panta. Because according to who we're choosing as our authority, that's what we're going to wind up. The sure is authority, Srila Prabhupada, and the also sure authority is those who strictly follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions to the best of their ability. And then even if there's some discrepancy in their behavior, then the cost of following Srila Prabhupada faithfully, then didadami buddhi yogam tam. Then Krishna will correct their path, and their path to liberation will be open and clear. But if we're whimsical, if we don't study Prabhupada's books, if we don't carefully observe what devotees are doing, and whether this will be the proper example for me to follow in order to make progress on the path of becoming a perfect servant of Krishna and his devotees, with the proper mood and attitude of respect and cooperation, then my path to liberation may not become more progressively more enlivening and enlightening. I may wind up simply punak punas charvata charvananam, simply chewing the chewed. Therefore, the conclusion is we have to go beyond simply, we have to learn how to appreciate the devotees, not just mentally not criticize them. We have to learn how to cooperate with them for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help educate the devotees how to live in the society of devotees and spread the Krishna consciousness movement to the innocent and avoid the atheists. And we have to take shelter of those who advance more than we are in service which is more undeviated and more appreciative of the other devotees who give us an idea how to properly reciprocate with the different devotees on different levels, who appreciate the service of all the different levels of the devotees and can teach us how to properly appreciate their service also by respect, by cooperation, and by surrender. Then as we advance in undeviated devotional service, and as our love for Krishna and his devotees grow, then gradually we'll come to the perfectional level. And on that perfectional level, then our guides will appreciate them more and will understand more and more what they're saying. And now I'll ask if there's any questions or comments.